Welcome to episode 99 of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for the week of June 2nd, 2008. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. On this week's episode of the Fredcast, a horrific bike crash caught on film in Mexico. A new road group, pro cycling news, critical mass closes down a Toronto expressway, and the Mayo Jean takes a trip to the International Space Station. Following the news, a couple of updates, some upcoming events, and pod-safe cycling music. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes episode 99 of the Fredcast. This week's episode of the Fredcast is brought to you by listeners just like you. Thank you so much for your donations, and thank you for clicking the advertiser links at www.thefredcast.com. Your donations and the small amounts we receive from the merchants go to support the work we do here at the Fredcast. It's greatly appreciated. Thank you so much for your support. Well, here I am once again back at the Fredcast, and I got to tell you, it's a little strange because this is episode number 99. The next episode is episode 100 of our regular episodes of the Fredcast, and that feels, well, it feels good. It feels a little bit strange, too, to be going into triple digits and to have all of you still with me and the ranks of you growing. It's spectacular, and I have to thank all of you for sticking with the Fredcast for this amount of time, and I'm not going to get maudlin now. We'll wait till next week. But in the meantime, that's it for our 100th episode contest. You recall that we have a contest going, and we are going to be giving away some great prizes on next week's show. If you haven't gotten a postcard into us yet, unfortunately, it is now officially too late. I will go in the morning, pick up all of the remaining postcards from the post office, and then over the next week, pick randomly from our postcards that we've received to give out some of our great prizes that have been donated by some fantastic companies. Companies that have donated prizes include Training Peaks, Polar Pack, Spot, Erg Video, iBike, Road Rash Repair Kit, Dave Shields, and Saul Raisin, Ride Clean, Cycle Film, and Nike. We will be announcing the winners next week. Thank you all for weighing down my desk with the number of postcards I've received. They've been fantastic. I am looking forward to announcing the winners next week. So stay tuned to our special 100th episode podcast. Well, now let's get to the news for this week's episode of the Fredcast. And the first story today is absolutely, well, it's probably the most horrific photo I have ever seen. Now, you know, over the last couple of months, we've been talking about some crashes that have occurred that have involved cyclists and cars. The first one that comes to mind, of course, is the sheriff's deputy up in Cupertino, California, who slammed into several cyclists who were training out on a training ride, causing death. And we've talked about that, and we've talked about the fact that perhaps the deputy fell asleep, and that's the reason why he crossed the road and hit the cyclist. And it is a horrific story. There's no doubt about that. But we didn't have a visual. We've also been talking over the last couple of weeks about the Sydney incident in which a driver reportedly suffering from road rage who pulled up in front of a group of about 50 cyclists, slammed on the brakes, and caused those cyclists to go down. Thankfully, not causing any serious injuries. But still, the image is horrific in your mind. But we don't have the actual image to show us what happened. Yesterday, however, we were presented with an image from Monterrey, Mexico, when a car plowed into a bike race along a highway near the U.S.-Mexico border, killing one and injuring about a dozen over the weekend. Now, the driver was an American, Juan Campos, who crossed the border into Mexico and purportedly, at least according to the news stories, was charged with drunk driving when he perhaps fell asleep or perhaps through his impairment, crossed onto the opposite side of the road where the cyclists were racing, slamming into the peloton, and the photo was captured by a local photographer. Now, they say that a picture is worth 1,000 words. The one word that has been used to describe this photo over and over in the literally dozens of emails that I've received from you, the listeners, over the last 24 hours, the one word that's been used to describe it is horrific. Now, the authority said that the accident happened about 15 minutes into the 34-kilometer race on Sunday along a highway between Playa Baghdad and Matamoros, and this is across the border from Brownsville, Texas. I've also got a link at www.thefredcast.com, not only to the photo itself, but also to an KARE Channel 11 video showing the aftermath, as well as someone's Flickr photos showing the driver being put in handcuffs, placed into the police car, and into custody. This is something none of us ever want to see in person. Our hearts, of course, go out to the family of the cyclist that was killed, as well as to those who are recuperating from their injuries. It is this photo that points out, well, how vulnerable cyclists are on the roadways. Go ahead and take a look. It's on the website. Now, moving on to a race that has a little bit of a better outcome. You'll remember that when we last visited here on the Fredcast, we were talking about the Giro d'Italia and Alberto Contador, the defending champion from the 2007 Tour de France, and Team Astana was leading the general classification in the 2008 Tour de France with just a couple of mountain stages to go, and then a final individual time trial last Saturday in Milan, Italy. Going into that final time trial, it was Alberto Contador still in first place in the general classification, but close behind him, just 4 seconds back, was Ricardo Rico. Now, Rico was hoping to be able to pick up some bonus points on Saturday's final mountain stage, but unfortunately, due to a breakaway and really a very carefully controlled race by Team Astana and Alberto Contador, Rico did not gain any bonus points. The top bonus points at the end of the stage went to positions 1, 2, and 3, and Rico came in fourth, followed at the same time by Alberto Contador. Now, on Sunday's final individual time trial, it was Alberto Contador beating his rival, Ricardo Rico, by 1 minute 57 seconds, so that at the end of this year's 2008 Giro d'Italia, which many folks believe was one of the best Grand Tours in a number of years, at the top of the general classification, it was Alberto Contador, followed in second place by Ricardo Rico. Third place went to Marzio Brusseghin from Team Lamprey. Fourth, Franco Pellizzotti from Team Liquigas. And fifth place to Denis Menchov from Team Rabobank. The Giro d'Italia was not on the Pro Tour calendar this year, so there were no Pro Tour points awarded, and there are currently no Pro Tour events going on. Therefore, there have been no changes since last week in the Pro Tour standings. The next Pro Tour events, once again, the Criterium du Dauphiné Libéré. The Dauphiné is June 8th through the 15th, and it was announced that Alberto Contador will not be taking part in the Dauphiné. Now, originally, he was planning on taking part, but when the Giro made the call inviting Astana, with very short notice, to participate in the Giro, that put the Dauphiné on the back burner for Alberto Contador. For Team Astana, Levi Leipheimer will be leading their squad at the Dauphiné starting this coming weekend. Andreas Klöden will anchor the squad for the Tour of Switzerland, which is the next Pro Tour event taking place at the concurrently at the end of the Dauphiné. That begins June 14th and runs until June 22nd. Now, with Contador winning this year's Giro d'Italia and being the defending champion in the Tour de France, many people have been speculating whether or not the Amaury Sports Organization, or the ASO, the owners of the Tour de France and several other major bike races, whether or not they would reconsider their decision to allow Astana to race in the 2008 Tour de France. Now, the ASO earlier this year decided specifically to disinvite or uninvite or not invite, depending on the way you look at it, Team Astana because of the incidents that occurred in last year's Tour de France. Well, Christian Prudhomme, the so-called boss of the Tour de France, made it very clear this week when he spoke with Agence France-Presse and the French newspaper L'Equipe when he said, quote, "We've always said that we've got nothing against Contador, but it was the recurrence of certain events in Astana in 2006 and 2007 which led us to take this decision." Now, he did not rule out the possibility of allowing Astana to race in 2009, but Astana will definitively not be invited to the 2008 Tour de France. Meanwhile, at the very same press conference where Prudhomme was announcing that Astana would definitely not be invited to this year's Tour de France, he also announced, very similarly to the way that they worked Paris-Nice, that the Tour de France would be organized under the French National Cycling Federation instead of under the UCI's rules. According to Prudhomme, quote, "We have asked the FFC, that's the French Cycling Federation, that the Tour is organized under their aegis. The AFLD, the French Anti-Doping Agency, will therefore be in charge of the doping tests before and during the race." As you can imagine, this, of course, engendered the ire of the UCI once again. And yes, once again, the UCI is threatening the teams and the riders if they participate in this year's Tour de France. It's deja vu all over again. The exact same situation that we had with this year's Paris-Nice, where the UCI threatened the teams with sanctions and threatened the riders with sanctions, they're doing it again. In a June 3rd press release, the UCI said, quote, "The UCI deplores the decision taken by the executives of ASO and the FFC. It considers it entirely inappropriate that ASO, with the support of the FFC, should have chosen to announce this by press conference without having informed the UCI beforehand. This proves further evidence of ASO's wish to disregard the UCI's authority in international cycling following its leaders' refusal either to pay the fees for registering its events on the calendar or to contribute to the biological passport as cycling's other major stakeholders have done." It goes on to say, "ASO has demonstrated by these actions that it intends to follow its own rules within a structure it has itself created. This year, it will deny the winner of last year's Tour de France the opportunity to defend his title, and the UCI believes it is absolutely vital to fight against such aberrations." Earlier in the press release, the UCI is very clear. It says, quote, "Riders and teams will, by participating, expose themselves to sanctions, and ASO's leaders alone are to blame for this." Now, personally, considering absolutely nothing happened to the riders and the teams after Paris-Nice, it seems to me that this is just an empty threat by the UCI. However, the Tour de France is a much larger international spectacle than Paris-Nice, so it is entirely possible that this time the UCI might just make good on its threats. So far, they've proven to be a paper tiger. We'll see what happens in July. Finally, simultaneously with all of these other actions from the ASO and the French Federation, French officials announced more surprise doping tests will be used at this year's Tour de France. Now, in the past, team directors were given just an hour's notice when one of their cyclists was called for a post-stage doping test. During this year's Tour de France, however, cyclists will be given absolutely no warning, and they will be guided to the doping control trailers by 8 escorts. This was all announced by the French Anti-Doping Agency. Now, the Tour de France obviously has been hit by a number of doping scandals in recent years, and they simply don't want to be caught unawares once again. According to officials, there is now a new computer system that's coming from the World Anti-Doping Agency, or WADA, which will be used during this year's Tour de France, and it will improve the way that they track cyclists' whereabouts ahead of the race. Anybody remember Michael Rasmussen? According to Jean-Pierre Verdi, director of testing at the French agency, cyclists are already starting to log in. Quote, "Today, all the French teams have been localized. We're waiting for the others to go test them." sounds to me like the French are really trying to make an effort to make sure that their race is as clean as possible. So many people have felt that this year's Giro was perhaps one of the cleanest in history. Hopefully, this year's Tour de France will be similarly clean. And for those of you, like me, who aspire to have the best components possible, similar to what the pros have on their bikes, and of course, that's what makes us all true Freds, great news for you. For 2009, both Shimano and Campagnolo are looking at major upgrades to their existing high-end component groups. For instance, Shimano has now announced that the 2009 Dura-Ace FC7900 group will be lighter, stronger, and have higher performance than the existing Dura-Ace group. For instance, one of the changes, well, part of it is design, similar to the way that XTR was redesigned a few years ago with certain elements that unite the cranks, the derailleurs, and the brakes. They're going to do the same thing with Dura-Ace in the coming year. The new group is 135 grams lighter than existing Dura-Ace while adding increased stiffness and durability. The new dual control shifting levers have a new ergonomic shape, better reach adjustment, and this will be Shimano's first carbon fiber lever. In addition, the rear derailleur is 16 grams lighter for one reason, because they've replaced the pulley cage with carbon fiber. You'll also find redesigned brakes and a redesigned Dura-Ace chain. Meanwhile, reports are starting to surface about the new Campagnolo record group, specifically that it will be an 11-speed group, and this looks to be one of the most major upgrades coming from Campagnolo in a number of years. As soon as more technical details come out, I will keep you posted. And of course, from our Interbike daily coverage at this year's 2009 Interbike in Las Vegas, hopefully I'll be able to bring you photos, perhaps videos, and definitely interviews from both Shimano and Campagnolo. Stay tuned for that coverage in September. Meanwhile, farther down the cycling spectrum from Dura-Ace and Campagnolo record is Critical Mass. We've talked about Critical Mass on the show before. This is the monthly demonstration or ride that takes place in cities around the world on the last Friday of every month. And it's a show of strength, solidarity, environmentalism. It's a time when bikes take back the streets from cars. Now, I know lots of you have opinions one way or the other on Critical Mass, but an incident occurred last week in Toronto that had, well, at least one police officer calling Critical Mass a, quote, crazy idea. About 200 cyclists there in Toronto, some even riding with children, shut down the westbound lanes of the Gardiner Expressway in Toronto when they rode up the Jarvis Street on-ramp at about 7 o'clock in the evening and headed west. That brought cars and the expressway itself to a grinding halt. According to Sergeant Jeff Redden of the Toronto Police Traffic Services, quote, it was a crazy idea. Police officers immediately shut down the westbound lanes of the Gardiner, and then they finally were able to clear the roadway, and they even gave out some tickets to some of the cyclists. According to Redden, quote, it goes beyond common sense in saying it's not a good idea. Everyone has their right to free speech and protest, but not in that manner. According to Yvonne Bambrick of the Toronto Cyclist Union, she had no idea that the event was occurring and went on to say, quote, breaking the law is never a good idea. It doesn't strike me as a very safe thing to do. Meanwhile, and perhaps ironically, the following day, the Gardiner Expressway was closed along with another parkway as the bicyclists in that city took part in a Ride for Heart charity ride. Kind of interesting that the juxtaposition of those two closures of those highways. Hey, have you got a question for Lance Armstrong or perhaps Floyd Landis, Barack Obama, Stephen Colbert, or dozens of other public figures, there's now a new website that you can go to ask your question. Whether or not your question gets answered, we will get to in a moment. The new website is called zotfish.com. That's Z-O-T-F-I-S-H fredcast.com. And it's a website that was launched last week to let you do exactly that. It gives you the chance to ask your most quizzical question of over 400 celebrities, politicians, athletes, and other public figures. According to Michael Baldwin, the founder of Zotfish, quote, "We want to enable direct, unfiltered communication between the public and public figures and make celebrities and politicians accessible like never before." Now, this site has no editors. It operates, quote unquote, democratically. So sort of in the way of like a dig.com, where if somebody presents a question and there's a number of questions for an individual, you can vote up and vote down the questions so that those questions that have the most votes hopefully would get answered. So you can go on right now and you can ask questions of Lance Armstrong or Floyd Landis. Matter of fact, I asked a question of Floyd Landis on there. If you go on to Zotfish.com, you can find my question. I asked Floyd the following: if the Court of Arbitration for Sport finds in your favor this month, because remember, we're expecting that final decision in the Floyd Landis case this month. If the CAS finds in your favor, will you re-enter the world of professional cycling? If so, how soon? Do you have a team lined up already? Do you think the ASO will allow you to defend the Tour de France someday? So has Floyd answered my question? Well, that's a good question. According to the website, we've just launched 4 days ago and are collecting the first questions right now. We are hard at work contacting everyone so we can have the first answer soon, but most of all, it depends on you. The more questions and votes we have, the better chance you have of getting your questions answered. In other words, right now, this is just a message board, someplace where you can post questions, but we have no idea whether or not they will actually get people like Lance Armstrong and Floyd Landis and, dare I say, Barack Obama to come onto Zotfish and answer. I'll be watching. But so far, I'm a bit skeptical. And if you're in the market for a new bicycle, well, this one's sort of used, but it's definitely Fred-worthy. Bonhams & Company in New York, the auction house, is auctioning off on June 4th a rare Tiffany & Company bicycle. Now, Tiffany, of course, is noted for high-end jewelry, but they were also the creator of unusual objects in the 19th century, including a silver-mounted ladies' bicycle, and this goes up for auction June 4th. This bike features carved ivory handle grips, and it's one of only a handful of these luxury two-wheelers that were produced in the late 1890s, one of which was made for actress Lillian Russell, confidant of the famed collector Diamond Jim Brady, one of Tiffany's favorite clients. According to Bonhams, they are expecting an estimated selling range from $50,000 to $70,000. Now that is a high-end bike. Now, a couple of minutes ago, we were talking about Toronto, Canada, and there is a church in Brampton, Ontario, just outside of Toronto, that needs your used mountain bikes. Because you see, in Africa, a bike can literally, according to the website from St. Bartholomew's United Church in Brampton, in Africa, a bicycle can literally change a life. And as they say, in fact, many lives. Now, in rural Africa, bikes provide access to food and water, employment and healthcare, and used bicycles can save hundreds of lives. St. Bartholomew's United Church in Brampton is collecting used mountain bikes that are in good shape for shipment to Namibia, Africa. Mountain bikes in good condition are preferred because of the terrain in Africa. If you're interested in helping make a difference, please drop off your used bicycles to St. Bartholomew's United Church. And of course, there's a link in the show notes and in the Enhanced podcast. And you would do that this Friday or Saturday, June 13th or 14th, on Friday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And of course, cash donations are also welcome to help defray the shipping and container costs to get those bikes over to Africa. According to the church's Reverend Eleanor Morathi, the response last year was overwhelming. Initially, we were concerned about collecting enough bicycles, but the community and our congregation provided incredible support. We raised money through donations, but it was individuals in our own congregation who came forward to pay for the additional containers. So if you're interested, and if you're in the area, whether you're in Toronto or you're just across the border in the United States, please consider donating your used bike. It will go to a great cause. Again, links are in the show notes at www.thefredcast.com. And finally tonight, you know, every year many of us watch the Tour de France and we watch the rider wearing the maillot jaune or the yellow jersey scale some of the most incredible mountains and highest peaks in Europe's Alps mountain range. And those are some pretty incredible altitudes to take the maillot jaune every year. Well, right now, the maillot jaune is at the highest altitude it has ever been as it took a ride on the space shuttle Discovery and is currently orbiting the Earth at the International Space Station. Now, why the heck would the shuttle astronauts take the maillot jaune? Well, it's simple. NASA has partnered up with Disney, and Disney owns the sports network ESPN. They are trying to garner more interest among kids in the United States,
and they're all
and they're doing that through on the space Disney as well as through ESPN. Yellow jersey went up to the International Space Station along with other memorabilia like a Buzz Lightyear statue and one of Eli Manning's Super Bowl jerseys. Some of you may also know that the shuttle astronauts brought a replacement toilet pump to fix the malfunctioning Russian pump that for the last 2 weeks has caused, well, a bit of hassle for the astronauts currently residing in the International Space Station. I have a feeling that that pump was probably a bit more useful to those astronauts than any of the jerseys or Buzz Lightyear figures were. Nevertheless, hopefully, the jerseys and the Lightyear statue will help encourage students to pursue studies in science, technology, and math. And with that, we will flush the news for this week's episode of the Fredcast. And a real quick update, and I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but a real quick update to the Pataki story that we've been talking about the past couple of weeks. You recall Alessandro Pataki gets a one-year ban from the Court of Arbitration for Sport because the level of salbutamol in his blood was above that is acceptable even for those who have a waiver to use the asthma control medication. And originally I defended him, and then a very astute listener pointed out that there is a much higher percentage of pro Peloton riders who are claiming to have asthma than in the general population. And so I sort of backed off on my defense. Interestingly, I also got an email this week from another listener who claims that perhaps the reason why those riders seem to be showing asthma in greater proportions to that of the general public could be because they're taxing their lungs and using their lungs to a greater capacity than the general population, and that therefore would subject their lungs to more possibilities for allergies, and certainly they could be more irritated by things in the air such as pollution. Makes a certain amount of sense. I know that for me, when I lived in Southern California, I was doing a lot of mountain biking in the afternoons about 8 or 9 years ago, I developed exercise-induced asthma. Now, I haven't had symptoms of that in many, many years, and certainly haven't had it in the last year since I've moved out of Southern California. But others have written to me and told me that they do indeed have exercise-induced asthma. Onlinebikecoach.com's Rich Wharton mentioned to me that he always recommends to his clients who live in urban areas that they watch websites that are constantly monitoring pollution levels in their areas. And if the pollution levels go up, he always recommends that they skip training on those days. Well, certainly in the afternoons when pollution levels are up. I've asked a couple of physicians to weigh in on this subject because we talked about it on this week's episode of the Spokesman Cycling Roundtable podcast at www.the-spokesman.com. Sorry. Had to get that plug in there. But I've asked a couple of physicians to weigh in on this, and as soon as I've got their professional opinions, I will let you know. So my jury is still out until I hear from the professionals. I'm very interested to hear what they have to say. If you live in the Northwest and you'd like to take part in a great multi-day ride, I've got to tell you about another upcoming event, and that is the Seattle to Portland Bicycle Classic. Now, this takes place July 12th through the 13th. This is the 200-mile, two-day event that will take riders through the scenic valleys, forests, and farmlands of Western Washington and Oregon. Now, last year's ride included over 2,200 single-day riders and over 6,700 two-day riders. The oldest rider last year was 85, and the youngest was 2 years, 4 months old. I'd like to see that bicycle, by the way. This is the largest multi-day bike event in the Northwest. It's the 29th year of the ride, and it's sponsored by Group Health. I've put links in the show notes to where you can find information for the 2008 Group Health Seattle to Portland Bicycle Classic, July 12th through the 13th. By the way, if you do this ride, I would love to hear from you either in audio form, which is always preferred, or in written form so that I can let the other Fredcast listeners know about this ride and hopefully get some interest in having them do it again next year. Another event that's coming up, but I got to tell you, if you haven't trained for it, it's going to be a little bit too late. Beginning this weekend in Oceanside, California, it's the 2008 edition of the Race Across America. Now, the solos leave Oceanside June 8th, and the teams leave Oceanside June the 11th. Now, if you're not familiar with RAM, the route is over 3,000 miles from coast to coast, Oceanside, California to Annapolis, Maryland, touching 14 states and climbing a whopping 100,000 plus feet. Teams typically cross the country in about 6 to 9 days, averaging about 350 to over 500 miles per day. Solo racers finish in about 9 to 12 days, averaging 250 to 350 miles per day. Teams have a relay format and race 24 hours a day, but solo racers have the challenge of balancing a few hours of sleep each night against race deadlines. I've put a link in the show notes to the RAM website, and it's also in the Enhanced podcast. RAM is probably the single most difficult endurance event in the world. And for those who complete the race, there is no doubt that is probably the pinnacle of their athletic achievement. So to all of the racers, good luck in this year's RAM. We wish you Godspeed, and of course, we wish you a lot of tailwinds. Well, before I head out and play our final PodSafe Cycling music for our double-digit shows, just wanted to let you know how you can stay in touch with the Fredcast. As I've told you over the last couple of weeks, perhaps the best way to keep in touch with what's going on with the Fredcast, whether or not I post any new cycling news on the website or just give you a little bit of tidbits of cycling news or just let you have some insight into what's going on in my life, is probably to follow my Twitter feed. That's at twitter.com/Fredcast. Or you can send a text message to 40404 with the words follow Fredcast, and then you will get a text message every time I update my Twitter. And of course, Twitter is free, but normal text messaging rates will apply. Of course, another way to keep in touch is to follow the website. That's at www.thefredcast.com. Or if you'd like to send me an audio or text comment, please send me an email. The email address is thefredcast@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to send an audio comment, but you don't have the ability to do so with your computer, pick up your phone and call the Fredcast listener hotline. That's at 435-258-6FRED. That's 435-258-6373. And with that, it is time to introduce this week's PodSafe Cycling music. This is music that I have chosen from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com, because I think it would be great music to ride a bike to. That's why I call it PodSafe Cycling Music. This week's track is called Come With Me. It's by a band called The Clintons from their album Strange Day in Mexico. I loved this because you have been coming along with me for 99 regular shows. And wow, probably over 50 of my other shows, including The Daily Tour and The Spokesman Podcast. It has been a pleasure to have you come along with me for this journey. I hope you will come along with me for another 100 or two or more. Thank you so much for joining me throughout all of that time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for staying subscribed and for your donations and for clicking the links. You are incredibly appreciated. I pore over cycling news and emails, and I travel and go to trade shows and races for you. And it is to you that I dedicate all of my shows. Thank you so much for listening. So between this show and the next, which is episode 100, I hope you enjoy the music. But most of all, enjoy the ride.
Well, I can see you're brewing up your usual mischief, and I catch your contagious laugh. I talk about your all-time crushes, this one takes them all. Life begins to feel a little less heavy, there's a little more color every time I look around. I talk about your all-time crushes, this one takes them all. I wanna indulge in you, too much of a good thing's never enough. Too bad we can't do this all the time. We'd never accomplish anything for me now. Come with me, it's a beautiful day for getaway, baby. Come with me, so great to be alive. Come with me, and forget about your jobs and winning and bringing you down. Well, I can sing to you, or maybe make you breakfast. Either way, that's really all I know how to do. And if you don't care, we can skip out on this town and sort it out tomorrow. Tomorrow. I wanna indulge in you. Too much of a good thing's never enough. Too bad we can't do this all the time. We'd never. Getaway, baby, come with me. So great to be alive. Come with me and forget about the troubles and winning and bringing you down.
And finally, the yellow shirt. And finally, at the same time that the ASO was announcing that the Tour de France would be covered under the, God, that just sounds awful, doesn't it?